The Jesuit theologian and paleontologist, Teilhard de Chardin, is someone who did a lot of writing and lived during the 20th century. And some of his writings are complex to read, but what he's trying to convey is worth the complexity. One of the thoughts that comes to mind comes from our reading from Revelation. Teilhard has this sense that all of creation has been created, and it is moving towards its fulfillment, moving towards what it was created to be. Teilhard uses that phrase, the Alpha and the Omega. The one from whom all of creation has come from is the one to whom all of creation is moving and heading, and to reach its fulfillment. And his sense of the Omega, of the end, is not an end of some sort of violent end and ceasing, but rather an end that is a fulfillment, the end that is reaching what we were all created to be. And as humans, we are part of that creation. We are part of that movement towards this fullness of meaning. I've always loved that notion of Teilhard de Chardin, that sense of we are all part of this journey that is moving towards something. And it comes to my mind today as we gather on this Feast of All Saints, because it seems to me that saints are people who somehow point us to that fulfillment. Saints seem to be people who give us hints of where we're going, of where God wants us to be, of who God's calling us to. And saints give us clues and hints of that. So I'd like to talk today a little bit about saints on this Feast of All Saints. I was talking to a priest this past week from Massachusetts in regards to an upcoming wedding. That's besides the point. But in our conversation, he shared with me this interesting story. He said he was talking to someone recently, someone who was Roman Catholic, who wanted to know a little bit about the Episcopal Church. And so was in conversation with this Episcopal priest. And the person asked this Episcopal priest, "Do you Episcopalians believe in saints?" And this priest said, "Well, yeah, I see them every day." And this person said, "You do?" "Yeah, and I think there's one right in front of me right now." Yes, we believe in saints. But maybe not just the saints that we all know and the great names who have the letter ST in front of their names. But I think in many ways the saints are the people who've touched our lives, have made us aware of, as Teilhard says, this fullness, this vision to where we are moving. And they've given us that ability to respond to that and become, to enter into that creation a bit in our lives. So I'd like to share some of the saints from my life. Now, these are not saints who are perfect. As a matter of fact, some of these saints have some dark sides and some struggles in their lives. But in my encountering them, I encountered a saintliness. And I'd like to share that with you. And I like to put it in the context of where I find myself right now. I get very reflective this time of the year, especially this year. This Tuesday, on November 3rd, is the 30th anniversary of my ordination to the priesthood. November 3rd, 1979, I was ordained a priest. I was only 10 years old then. Actually, I was 26, so you can do the math. I gathered it with my those of my seminary classmates, and we were ordained at St. Patrick's Cathedral in New York and by Cardinal Cook. And it was a very powerful day, and it brings back a lot of memories to me over the years. And I realized the other day that one-third of my priesthood has been here at St. Paul's. And it's been a wonderful one-third. And look for many more ahead. It's been a wonderful time. Let me talk about some of the saints, though, who kind of brought me to that point, and it brought me to the shape of my life now. The first person that comes to mind is Sister Amadeus. I went to a parochial school as a child, and Sister Amadeus was my first grade teacher. She was a nun, a sister. And one day, she asked the class, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" Now, this was a class of 72 first graders, and Sister Amadeus, I learned later, was only 21 years old. what? Those days are gone. But she asked that question. I remember standing up in the class. The first memory I have of this, standing up in front of the class and saying, I want to be a priest. I want to be a priest. The value of that memory is that Sister Amadeus was someone who asked the question. She asked the question to respond to. She asked the question that brought something out of me. And questions do that. Saints, I think, are people that ask questions. Many years later, Sister Amadeus, after I was ordained, I got to meet up with her again, and she continued to be very active in inner city poverty work in lower Manhattan. And she continued to ask the questions that brought about change. So questions are something that I think help us discover who we are, and there's a saintliness in that. Then there was Father McDonald and Father Gallagher. Those were the two parish priests in my parish growing up, and they were just people to me who were heroes. They were like idols to me. I looked at them and said, I want to do what they do. That's what I want to be when I grow up. Do you have people like that in your life who have been a hero or a model, and you just want to be like them? That's a saint in your life, someone who gives you that model to look at and to grow into. And so they kind of walked with me as a child, and I learned so much, not so much academically, but just watching them live their lives. I learned what they were about, and I learned the priesthood in many ways from them. I went to high school, and I was a young kid from the suburbs of New York City, the suburbs of Manhattan. And I went to a high school in Manhattan called Cathedral Prep. These were the days in the Roman Catholic Church where there were high schools for young men who were thinking about being priests. And you could go there. I don't think these schools exist too much anymore. But I'm thankful they were around when I was young, because that was an incredible experience for me. I went into New York City, commuted every day into New York City to go to high school. That's one of the reasons that New York is so significant in my life. I make jokes about the Yankees and all those kinds of things, and we banter about here sometimes about some of those things. But for me, the memory is it opened me up to a whole new world. It opened me up to questioning and wondering about some of the things that I had learned, and opening myself up to new things and new ideas and new ways, new cultures, new people. And I remember the priests in my high school at that time who walked me through that. Do you ever have someone walk you through a time when you're questioning and wondering and everything's not making sense and someone just walks with you? They walked with me. Father Thompson is one of the priests I remember. I then went on after that to college, and after college went to seminary for 4 years. And during my seminary time, I was in the seminary at a time of great conflict. It was incredible conflict at that time. Looking back, it just was. It was the mid-70s, 1975 to 1979, and in my seminary there were some professors who were so excited and enthusiastic about the wonder and the vision and the dreams of what Vatican II brought about and the hopes and possibilities. It's one of the reasons I was drawn to the priesthood, is for that excitement. But then there were some professors who rather regretted some of these changes and really were kind of teaching in that kind of style. And there was this kind of conflict among the professors who were mostly priests teaching, and it created this kind of conflict even among seminarians as we began to, well, I agree with so-and-so, and I agree with so-and-so, and it created this kind of conflict. Looking back at that, my experience of that was certainly, it was a stressful time, but it taught me to be able to sort of relate to people outside of their ideas. In my class, one of my closest friends was actually someone whose theology was quite different than mine. We perhaps were at different ends of the spectrum. And yet, we were closest friends. Even after ordination, we'd keep in touch, go out to dinner once in a while, and keep up with each other. It taught me during that time that relationship was important more than needing to agree or disagree on ideas or views or theology. But being able to be in relationship together was what was significant. And looking back these 30 years, boy, has that helped me these last few years, that experience. I realize how that shaped me back then. I then went on to be ordained, and Cardinal Cook is the bishop that ordained me. And Cardinal Cook is someone I've come to appreciate more over the years. When I was ordained, Cardinal Cook was the Cardinal Archbishop of New York, and he was very much a cardinal, and took that role very seriously. But looking back, I realized one of the strengths, one of the saintliness of his ministry and of his leadership was he was able to not impose or come upon people with his idea and his idea only, but he provided space and he provided time and he provided the opportunity for people to come to discern ways of working things out. In many ways, it's what my seminary experience was. He allowed that time to happen so things could evolve and work their way out. He was also a social worker. He had his degree in social work, and I began to realize the value of that more. And that's really a part that's really touched me in my life. So Sister Amadeus questioning the young priest in my life, walking with me and giving me an idol or a model of what a hero could be. The priest in high school who kind of walked me through that time of change and questioning and wondering and confusion. My seminary professors who were at different ends of the spectrum, and yet within the midst of that I met some incredible people. Father Mbeli, who now teaches at Boston College. Father John Meyer, who has become a scripture scholar in our time beyond what I would ever have imagined, and he's just become renowned in that field. But they were priests who kind of walked me through that time of conflict and gave me the assurance of belief in myself. And then Cardinal Cook, his sense of giving people space, giving people time to work things out. I then went on to the Episcopal Church. That would be a whole homily in itself, but came from the Roman Catholic Church into the Episcopal Church a few years later, and met some people that really I experienced saintliness as well. One was the Bishop of New York, Bishop Grine, who offered me hospitality, who welcomed me into the Episcopal household, who just welcomed me with open arms and made me feel welcome. And because in many places I wasn't feeling that welcomed, and found this welcoming hospitality. So saintliness has to do with hospitality. And then Jerry Gallagher, the priest in my parish, the priest that married Mary and I, and whose parish we became a part of in Rhinebeck, New York. And Jerry was an encourager. Jerry really is the one who suggested to me one time, have you ever thought about being a priest in the Episcopal Church? And it's that suggestion, that encouragement, that led me to a whole new avenue of the journey in my own life. So all of those people, in different ways, have you had saints like that in your life? Questioners, they walk with you, help you through conflict, give you a sense of belief in yourself, encourage you, welcome you, offer your hospitality. Ever met people like that? I mean, those are the saints. Those are the saints in our lives. And of course, my own family was there at the hierarchy of saints in my life, who gave me great support. And even today, my wife Mary and my two daughters, who kind of give me a sense of who I am and the direction, the fulfillment of our lives together. We need saints. They're the ones who walk this with us and give us a sense of where we're going and who we are. So I give thanks for those saints in my life, and began to realize too that you become part of something larger than yourself. When I was ordained a priest on November 3rd, 1979, one of the parts of the ceremony was the laying on of hands of the bishop, which is what you're ordained, the bishop lays hands on you. And at that ceremony, every priest that was there, and there were probably 200 to 300 priests, came to each of us that was ordained and individually laid hands on each one of us. And I knelt on that top marble step of St. Patrick's Cathedral for about 45 minutes, along with the rest of my class, as each priest laid hands on us. It was a powerful experience. My parents have a different memory of it. It just seemed to be a long time in the ceremony, they said. But it was a powerful experience to have the laying on of hands of Father Gallagher, Father McDonald, Father Thompson, Father Mbeli, Father Meyer, Cardinal Cook, the many priests that had touched my life. And I sensed that I was becoming part of something much larger than myself, that all of us are part of something larger. And that's not just something that the priesthood is about. That's something that we're all about. It's through the waters of baptism that we enter into something much larger than ourselves. Today we will welcome 6 new members into the community of faith, into the church, who will begin to become part of something much larger and walk in a life of saintliness, people who will gather around them and offer them hope and offer them encouragement and question them and walk them through maturity in so many ways. So I give thanks. Thanks for those saints, and thanks for those in my life who've touched me these last 30 years. And I, even now, I still walk in the midst of saints. I feel I'm surrounded by saints here at St. Paul's. I minister with saints, and I gather with you every week in the midst of that. That's what All Saints Day is about. It's not just the big names we know that have ST in front of their names. It's the people that we walk with. Do you believe in saints? I do. I see them every day. And I'm looking at them right now.